Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear," and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth," and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth," and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth, each according to its kind," and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All of Genesis chapter 1. Lord, thank you again for the wonderful and the blessed and the powerful Word of God in its entirety. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Genesis, and thank you, Father, for Genesis chapter 1, the wonderful and mighty and powerful story of creation that you've given us about how you created the heavens, the earth. Lord, thank you for this glorious account. Thank you for the opportunity for us to read and meditate on it and see the great work you did by the power of your Holy Spirit, and how your Holy Spirit just does wonderful and mighty things as you cause your work and your will and your kingdom to go forth. Lord, empower each of us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word, and more teach us to move continually in the empowerment of your Holy Spirit in all that we say and all that we do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the creation story. Father, thank you so much that whenever you speak, your promises come into being. Whenever you command, it just happens. And Father, thank you so much for all the promises that you have in Scripture and all the commands that you have in Scripture. Father, I ask that you'd help us to follow them more and more and to just trust in you more and more. Thank you so much, Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking specifically at the topic, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. Again, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. And on a number of occasions, we've looked specifically at the topic of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And one particular scripture that comes to my mind that I want to share here is specifically the scripture in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, which tells us, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." Again, Zechariah 4, 6, listening to it again, it says, "So he answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" And in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 34, specifically this scripture that, again, is very profound and powerful, and yet to the point, it says, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God gives the gift of the Spirit without measure, generously and boundlessly." And, of course, God is speaking through John the Baptist as he talks about Christ. And reading the verse again, as read from the Amplified Version, "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaiming the Father's own message. For God gives the gift of the Spirit without measure, generously and boundlessly." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was given the Holy Spirit without measure. Now, what a profound and powerful statement. So if Jesus in his earthly ministry had the Holy Spirit without measure, Jesus, remember, he is the Word of God. So part of what that means is the Word of God, the written Word of God too, has the Holy Spirit without measure. So when you're reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God, you're consuming the anointing of God and the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit without measure is flowing into your life. What a blessing. What a tremendous thing to consider. So again, we're looking, as I mentioned, at the topic, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. And I've shared before, keep in mind, we want to always encourage you, please, please take time to email us to get copies of the articles that we share, because they're meant to be resource tools to help you grow in your understanding of the Lord and grow in your understanding of the topics we deal with. Tools that you can use in your own walk with the Lord, but also tools you can use to help disciple your family, and tools you can forward and email to friends, family, fellow church members, saved and unsaved individuals as well. And remember, it's so easy to forward an email. There are all kinds of ways we can do so much with email in the way of discipleship. So the topic, the title of this article, this first one, is "The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit." John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." Again, John 14, 26. Then Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. Then Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, the church is commanded, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The three persons of the Godhead, the Trinity, are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and He is very present and at work throughout the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit is active and involved, whether He's mentioned or not. The Holy Spirit has several unique and very interesting names and or titles. Some of them are the Holy Ghost, the Helper, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Hand of God, the Breath of God. The Holy Spirit is a fire. He is a river. He's the anointing. He's the kingdom of God. He's the blessing. He is grace, and the list could go on and on. Every name or title of the Holy Spirit has great insight and meaning behind it, and believers could easily do a whole Bible study on each name or title of the Holy Spirit. And we're very, very wise to consider and meditate on the titles and names of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the tasks He comes to carry out in the world. Let's consider two of the Holy Spirit's titles. First, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. But the this is John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And whatsoever I've said to you, and whatsoever I have said to you. John 14, verse 26. Why do we need a Comforter? Well, one reason that we need a Comforter is because so often life can hurt. Life can bring pain, pressure, and difficulty. Life can sting and it can burn. Sadly, often people look for ways to alleviate the pain of life in many of the wrong places. Too many try to soothe their pain, the pain they experience in life with alcohol, drugs, and wrong relationships. Sometimes people indulge in unhealthy lifestyles just to try to numb the pain and the pains of life. The blessed Holy Spirit can comfort us in ways that no one or nothing else can. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, the source of all comfort, enters their heart and life. And with the Holy Spirit comes peace, joy, wisdom, and encouragement, to name just a few of the blessings. Now, very often, we believers must allow ourselves to be stirred by the Holy Spirit inside of us to sense His presence. Yet, He's always there. We can be stirred by the Holy Spirit by reading the Word of God. We can be stirred and encouraged by the Spirit by praising and worshiping the Lord and by expressing thanks and gratitude and praise to the Lord. We can receive and sense His comfort and encouragement that only He can give. The Holy Spirit is a fire. And the angel of the Lord, this is Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." Again, Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. We'll pick up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. We'll be right back.
Mountains to fall upon their knees. the one who welcomes sinners, and you open blinded eyes. You restored the brokenhearted, and you brought the dead to life. Forgetting all our sins, you remember.
Lincoln Brewster with More Than Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. And I was sharing from an article, and again, we're encouraging you to email us to get a copy of the article. My email, once again, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The title of the article, the resource article, The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Picking up close to where we ended before the break. The Holy Spirit is a fire. Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Again, Exodus chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Then Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. And then Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. The Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God, is a fire, a supernatural fire. In the natural, fire burns and consumes things, yet the fire of the Holy Spirit does not consume, but gives life, grace, and light to that which it lights upon. In Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush was not consumed, but it had the light of God on it, and it stood out and pointed Moses and the world to God. The Holy Spirit within the heart of a believer does the same thing. The fire of the Holy Spirit does not consume us, but it burns within us in a way that causes the world to be pointed to Christ through us and our lives. When the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning brightly within us, he gets the attention of the world and points the world to the Savior who lives inside of us. Our job is to live in such a way that the fire of the Holy Spirit within us is allowed to burn brightly and big daily. And this can happen daily through our lives as we live continually to add fuel to the fire of the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Our life of faithful obedience to Christ and our intimate walk with Him determines how bright the fire of the Holy Spirit burns within each one of us. Obedience to the Word of God can cause the fire of the Holy Spirit to become a bonfire within us. Neglecting to obey the Word of God and disobedience to it can cause the fire of the Holy Spirit within us to be quenched. See 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. When we as believers read and meditate on the Word of God daily, we're pouring, quote-unquote, fuel on the fire within. When we spend time in prayer daily, we pour fuel on the fire. When we praise and worship the Lord, giving thanks to Him, we pour fuel on the fire of the Holy Spirit. When we're involved daily in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and doing the work of making disciples, we pour fuel on the fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit is truly a fire that burns in the heart of every believer in all the world. Yet a very important question each of us is wise to ask ourselves is this: how big and bright does the fire of the Holy Spirit burn inside of me? The ball is in your court. Again, the title of that article, The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. So keep in mind, it's very important for us to know that we're wise to seek to grow daily in our understanding of how the Holy Spirit works in us, around us, and through us as well. Now, in the Old Testament, many people were anointed by the Holy Spirit, but not every one of the people of God were anointed in that way. In other words, for example, in the Old Testament, kings were anointed, prophets were anointed, priests and judges. Certain individuals had the anointing of God upon them. Whereas after the day of Pentecost, after Jesus Christ came into the world, lived, died on the cross, and rose again from the dead, and then after the day of Pentecost, that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And now every believer, every follower of God has the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Now, even the Old Testament saints who served the Lord did not have the Holy Spirit working on the inside of them in the way that we do. And what a blessing it is for us to have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, working in us as well as upon us as well. Now, keep in mind, so again, in the Old Testament, to kind of further explain, just like there were individuals that were anointed, as I mentioned, just to mention a few, you know, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, Samson, Saul, David, Samuel, etc. These individuals had specific anointings placed upon their lives for the work and the role they were called to. You know, each and every one of us as believers today, each of us has a unique calling and anointing on our lives that as we move in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to carry out and to serve and follow the Lord with. So again, it's powerful for us to consider how important it is for us to live a life in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were to ask the question, well, what's the connection between the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's a neat question. That's an important question, too. Now, again, as we spoke of a few moments ago, in John chapter 3, verse 34, God said these words through John the Baptist. He said that Christ had the Holy Spirit without measure. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, one of his names and or titles is Christ, which is the Messiah or the Anointed One. And now keep in mind, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God, he's God, but also and there's a unique way and there's much mystery around this. Now, none of us fully grasp exactly how God did it, but you'll remember this. God does what he does with eternal wisdom and understanding, and God doesn't have to explain himself to us. Whether we understand what he's doing or not, that's beside the point. God does his business, and he does it with extreme wisdom, grace, and skill continually. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they always know what they're doing. Jesus came into the world. He came into the world as a man. And as a man, he was a man who was called by God. He never stopped being the Son of God, but somehow or another, it's as if he shed, apparently in some capacity, he shed some aspect of his divinity. And he was dependent on the Holy Spirit to get the work of the Father done. Now, again, there's mystery surrounding that. How exactly that happened, we don't fully know. But we do know this, that, again, he depended on the Holy Spirit to do the work of the Father. And he was also teaching us how we, too, can live the same kind of life, where we live a life where we're depending on the Holy Spirit to do the work the Father has called each and every one of us. The Lord Jesus Christ himself at one point, in fact, said, greater works than these that we would do. Now, some people might think, well, that sounds blasphemous. Now, keep in mind, obviously, Jesus never blasphemed. So if he said we will do greater works, then Jesus is right. But remember, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we do any and all of these things. At one point, we're commanded in the Word of God to heal the sick. Now, many a believer might say, well, I can't heal anybody. Only God can heal. Well, by the power of the Holy Spirit, healing can come. And if God commands you to heal the sick, then apparently in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do it. And you're commanded to do it. So don't say you can't do something God commanded you to do, but you can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. So if he commands us to heal the sick, then we need to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit to do what we're told. But remember, it's done and it's to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14 is a powerful chapter, a wonderful chapter to read. And it touches on the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit in actually a number of places in the chapter. I want you to listen to the wisdom and the insight found, some of the wisdom and insight found in that chapter. Note specifically in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip? And yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same work, will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them." Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with the same name, said to him, "Lord, Why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replied, All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. And if you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they happen, you will believe. And we could pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking today at the topic, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. We'll be right back. Music of Rebecca St. James with Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. And we're sharing from the Gospel of John chapter 14. And so John chapter 14, picking up now at verse 23. Jesus replied, All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the rule of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. All of the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And so in a number of places, the chapter talks about the ministry and the workings of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And just an encouragement to each of our listeners, a big part of the work of the ministry and our cooperation with Him is we're to live a life of listening to the Holy Spirit, because there's so much work to be done. One of His names is the Helper. And if you ask, well, what is He here to help us do? He's here to help us do ministry. He's here to help us listen to the counsel of the Father and carry it out. So a big part of the Christian life is simply listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what He says. Again, listening to the Holy Spirit and doing what He says. Every believer is called to full-time ministry, whether we grasp and understand that or not. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us carry out that full-time ministry wherever it might be. We really do need a lot of help. Every one of us need a lot of help, because the fact is, too often, the world and obviously the kingdom of darkness is trying to get us off track, to get us out of thinking about and functioning in line with the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit, who is the Helper, is going to help us follow God as we stay in the Word of God, as we live a life of prayer. We obey, we listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us through the Word and by His voice, and we obey Him. He'll help us carry out the work and the will of our Heavenly Father. Let me share with you one additional article entitled The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. And again, keep in mind, one of the reasons why this article can be especially helpful to believers who really want to carry out God's call in their life is because, again, a big part of the Christian life is listening to the Spirit and obeying. Again, the title of the article, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain.' And God granted what he asked." Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. The Holy Spirit is all about ministry all the time. He's doing ministry every day, 24 hours a day. What is ministry? It's doing the will of God everywhere and all the time. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper. But what does He help us do? He helps us listen to God and obey Him. In other words, He helps us to do ministry wherever we go as we follow Him. As disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, our job is to yield to the Holy Spirit all the time. It could be said that we're to be on call to serve the Lord 24 hours a day. We are to be evangelism-minded every day. We're to be discipleship-minded every day. How can we do that? By yielding to Him, the Holy Spirit. We can carry gospel tracts with us wherever we might go. We're prepared to share our testimony of how we came to know the Lord, or how our prayer life may be going, or insights that we're gaining from the Lord. We're to be discipleship-minded disciple makers every day. We may ask, "How can I pray for you?" Or, "Do you read God's Word every day?" Or we might share, "Reading 3 chapters in the Word of God every day blesses my life so much." We also look for opportunities to be a blessing and to meet the needs of others. This is walking in love and can only be done successfully by relying on the Holy Spirit. One may conclude, that's easier said than done. How do we faithfully listen to the Holy Spirit and follow Him with a heart that's passionate to serve the Lord consistently? Our calling as believers is to know Christ and to abide in Him. We're called to walk intimately with Him and listen to Him, and we're called to obey Him. That's one more reason why reading the Word of God every day is so important. So a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible daily blesses each and every one of us greatly. Among other things, remember, the Holy Spirit is a fire. He's a supernatural fire that burns within every believer, burning in their heart. How big the fire of the Holy Spirit burns within each of us depends on our diligent obedience. When any believer listens to and obeys the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn bigger and brighter in him or her. Thus, we faithfully read and meditate on the Word of God. As we do that, we add fuel to the fire of the Holy Spirit that burns within us. When we live a prayer-filled life faithfully, we also add fuel to the fire of the Holy Spirit within. The ongoing goal is to live daily so that the fire inside of us is always burning big and brightly. Yes, every believer is called to be in ministry, and we're wise to consistently seek to live so that the fire of the Holy Spirit burns inside of each of us every single day of our lives. Again, the title of that article, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, the title, The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. Again, the email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that into your possession. Keep in mind an important goal for each of us, and it was alluded to in that article that we just shared. The prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. I want to encourage every single listener, make it a goal for ministry purposes to pray the prayer of Jabez daily over yourself. Let's take a moment to do that even now. Lord, thank you for every single person that's a part of our listening family, and thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Father, thank you for each and every one of us and your hand upon each of our lives. Father, bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon each one of us. Keep each one of us from evil that we may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Remember, that's a prayer that every day you pray it, God will answer it. And one of the reasons for that, of course, is God is looking for servants that want to be used. And when you're wise enough to pray the prayer of Jabez every day, basically you're asking God to use you more and more and in bigger ways. And as I just mentioned, God is glad to answer that prayer. He's looking for servants that are wise enough to pray a prayer like the prayer of Jabez. Also, another similar prayer is the prayer of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, it tells of a unique vision that God gives to him, where Isaiah looks into the sees into the throne room of God and has a supernatural experience. And near and in the midst of that vision, God asks the question. God basically says, "Who will go for us? Who can I send?" And Isaiah just, you might say, jumps into the vision and speaks out loud, "Here am I, send me." What a wise prayer to pray. That's a wise prayer for each of us to pray, like Isaiah, because God is looking, as I said, looking for servants that want to be used. Let's take time to pray that prayer as well. Lord, thank you for each and every one of us that we've lifted up in prayer today. Lord, here we are. We're available. Send each one of us on many miracle missions today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, and keep in mind, too, as we mentioned, reading and studying the Word of God is so important because, remember, the Word of God has the Holy Spirit without measure. And when you're reading and studying the Word of God, you're taking in more and more of the Holy Spirit. You might say you're breathing the breath of God as you read the Word of God. Think about that. Yes, you're breathing the breath of God as you read and meditate on the Word of God. You're taking in more and more of the fire of the Holy Spirit as you read and meditate on the Word of God. You're receiving of the wind of God as you read and meditate on the Word of God. Again, why is that true? Remember, the Word of God has the Holy Spirit without measure, and He is the anointing. If you want the anointing of God to increase on your life, get into the Word of God more and more every day. Read and meditate on it, and be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God as well. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give each of us to read and study your Word daily. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace in such a way, Lord, that we'll have a growing hunger for your word, and help us to be wise enough to fill up on your word daily and thus breathe your breath every day and be empowered by him, your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession, as we usually do. If you are listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. Would you pray this prayer with us now and commit or recommit your life to the Lord? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, I fully recommit my heart to you. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Well, we would like to share some literature with you to help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. So please be sure and get in touch with us so we can get that resource material to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. If you're wanting copies of either the articles that we shared about, again, one of the articles is entitled The Holy Spirit and the Call to Ministry. The other article entitled The Wonderful Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get one or both of them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.